1,000 years ago, Chaco Canyon, which lies within the San Juan Basin in northwestern New Mexico, was a major cultural center of the ancient Pueblo people. Chaco Canyon was occupied by hunter-gatherers as early as 900 BC. By 8500, descendants of these people were farming in the canyon and living in small clusters of subterranean pit houses. By about 850, the population had expanded and people were residing in larger, denser, above-ground pueblos. By the middle of the 12th century, the Chacoans had built 14 great houses, large, multi-storied pueblos. Pueblo Bonito, built of quarried sandstone blocks and massive timbers hauled great distances, is the largest Chacoan great house with more than 800 rooms and kivas. Archaeologists and anthropologists estimate that the population density during the height of occupation ranged from 2,000 to more than 20,000 full-time residents. The settlements in Chaco Canyon were connected to at least 70 outlying pueblos in the San Juan Basin, including Salmon and Aztec ruins near Farmington. 30 of these Chacoan outliers were connected to the Central Canyon and to one another by a web of carefully surveyed and engineered roads. By 1300 AD, all these settlements had been abandoned. Journey with us to Chaco Canyon in northwestern New Mexico, where we visit with archaeologist Larry Baker.
We're here at the site of Pueblo Bonito in what might be termed downtown Chaco Canyon, this fabulous prehistoric cultural center. My name is Larry Baker. I'm the executive director of the San Juan County Archaeological Research Center and Library at Salmon Ruins in Bloomfield, New Mexico.
Tell us about the history of Chaco with a whole big picture here. What was this? How did it start?
The story of Chaco goes way back to the introduction of agriculture here in the northern southwest, let's generally say about the birth of Christ. And with the introduction of agriculture, people begin to adapt to farming as a subsistence lifeway. And so things begin to change here, not only in Chaco Canyon, but in the greater northern southwest as people become more and more reliant on corn agriculture.
Would these be the same people as in, say, Mesa Verde?
And essentially, it would be. You have this Puebloan lifeway that is pan-southwestern here in New Mexico. And so people are adapting to this lifeway, not only here in Chaco Canyon, but in the Mesa Verde area, to the southeast of us in the Rio Puerco Valley, over in the Kayenta District, etc.
Historically, the label in the 20th century has been Anastasi for the old people. What does that mean? What does that encompass?
The term Anasazi is a Navajo word, and it can be translated in a couple different ways. Sometimes it's translated as ancient ones, ancient people. On occasion, it's translated as ancient enemies. And as a professional archaeologist dealing with not only Navajo people, but also Puebloan people, that term is going out of favor to label the ancestors of Pueblo people here in the region. And Pueblo people would prefer that we did not refer to their ancestors by a Navajo word. The politics of the tribes sort of dictate in the current equation that we not use that term to refer to Puebloan ancestors.
So is it the Puebloan people? Is that what it is today?
It is. Professionally, we are sort of using this nondescript term, ancestral Puebloan, and I'm not sure that the Pueblo people are particularly even happy with that. But we're trying to come to grips with that, to use a term that is acceptable to everybody. But the term Anasazi as a Navajo word is going out of favor. And it's difficult to deal with because Puebloan people, they speak different languages. To refer to the ancestors at Hopi, who are referred to as Hitsatsinam, is not appropriate to refer to those people at Acoma because they are Karasan speakers and Hopis are Uto-Aztecan speakers. We're trying to come to grips with this sort of general reference term for Puebloan ancestors.
Back to Chaco Canyon. Give us kind of a visual picture. Where are we in New Mexico, and how would somebody get here? And if they came, what would they see and do?
We're here in northwestern New Mexico. We're right at the southern margin of San Juan County. It's difficult to get to Chaco. There are only two ways into Chaco Culture National Historical Park. One is on old route Highway 57 from the south, which I can't recommend for anybody. And the other is coming in on county roads from the northeast off of U.S. Highway 550. And it is somewhat difficult to get in here. You have dirt roads, no matter which way you come in, you have dirt road access into the park. And when it's inclement, it's very, very difficult to get here. When you get to Chaco, it's very, very spectacular. You feel like you're in this very remote, windswept landscape. But when you get here and you start visiting the sites, you see these spectacular great houses that are built by the Chacoan inhabitants here, beginning about AD 850, with both construction at the Great House of Una Vida and the Great House of Pueblo Bonito itself.
Una Vida, for example, how many people would have lived in that one great house?
It's first story, second story, third story construction. There's about 150 ground floor rooms, more or less. And at the peak of occupation at Una Vida, there'd probably be about 300 inhabitants.
And the largest major pueblo?
There are 13 great houses concentrated along Chaco Wash and the mesas that flank the wash. The largest is Pueblo Bonito itself, with 845 rooms total.
And you assume, what, three per room, or?
You know, one of the things that we've come to understand here over the last 30 years is that there's a lot of differences in room function. There's a lot of storage rooms in these sites. There are habitation rooms in these sites. There are special activity rooms in these sites. And of course, many, many kivas and ceremonial rooms in these sites. But in terms of the sites, do they function as residences? Do they function as just ceremonial structures? Remains controversial amongst archaeologists.
Give us a word picture of what somebody would see.
One of the things that you see here in the Chacoan buildings, in the great houses, is what we might define as hallmarks of Chacoan architecture. And you're only going to see these various characteristics of architectural construction at Chacoan sites, at sites that are related to Chaco, what we call Chacoan outliers. For example, core veneer wall construction, almost exclusively Chacoan in terms of the way the wall is built. Architects call those faced walls. The facings or veneers on these walls have different patterns. And again, that's almost exclusively Chacoan. In the great houses and the Chacoan outliers, we see multiple story construction. We see that there are kivas built up in the second and third stories of the buildings sometimes. And of course, always a great kiva in direct association, or if it's not in direct association, it's very close by.
And you're talking about a time period from 1,000 years ago of this architecture.
The initial construction around 8850 at Una Vida and Pueblo Bonito, and then construction mostly into the 800s, some into the AD 1000s, like Hungopavi, dating to construction as early as AD 1066. But we see construction here in the ancestral pueblo and great houses going on up through just after AD 1100. And then construction, except for late kivas that are built in the post-Chacoan buildings after the Chaco system collapses, construction is discontinued by the Chacoans in the early 1100s. And the system, as we define it, and we're really changing sort of our definition of Chaco as a system, is over by AD 1135-1150.
Very cool. Larry Baker, this has been great.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon.